I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we believe success comes by being intrepid. At It's a Thing, alongside a deep understanding of our business responsibilities, we emphasize being bold yet accountable. Thanks for joining us.
I really liked this until I saw who it was.
Oh,
intrepid, bold, intrepid. Accountable. These are bold. All things I support, except I don't think the NSO group embodies them.
Exactly.
Well, maybe the bold. Give them the bold.
They're bold. Sure. Who'd they hack? Like all of Israel? Something like that?
Yeah. Well, anybody a government would pay them to hack, really.
Right. You, me, the Uyghurs, everybody. Yeah.
You got a check. You're a advanced persistent threat capable nation. You're our client.
We're going to hack you or get paid by you to hack another one, but then come around and back and hack you again. Wow. Oh, bold choice, Rich.
We'll hack
bold
whoever. Choice. We don't have any problems with that.
I like this. It's an intrepid choice of about statement. Let's go.
It is. Well done.
You know what? I like it. It's sort of like it goes with the Dark Brandon thing, which we haven't talked about here because that's like not our thing, but is very funny. The idea that Biden is actually like a secret, awesome, genius supervillain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dark Brandon. So Dark now Brandon. We're having like a little bit of a Dark Brandon vibe. We're going full NSO group on It's a Thing here today.
Hacking for good. We're gray hat.
We're gray. Oh, I'm only laughing because I read ahead.
All right. Let's get to my first one, which is we've talked about gray. Black never goes away. But did you know, Molly, that green is the third of the current reigning fashion colors?
You know, I've seen some of this. And since you know me to be an utterly impressionable ninny.
I don't literally, know that at all, but okay.
Oh, yes, yes. Remember last week when I was like, I thought I was into boho organically, but it turns out it's just what everyone's doing. Yesterday, I texted my friend, the interior designer, and I was like, should I go like mid-century mint? Mm-hmm. On my cabinet colors?
Yes,
because
you should.
Green is a thing.
Yeah, this is my supporting materials today come from Hypebeast, which I think in this case is a reputable source, pointing out that VMA's red carpet was dominated by green, black, and white. And I would argue that in their pictures, there's a lot of gray as well.
There's
so much green, lots of lime green, some mint green, some olive green, like everybody was wearing green. And I don't care what you think of the MTV VMAs. It's a red carpet. It had tons of celebrities. So these are people out there like wearing expensive things that other people then decide that they also need to wear.
Oh, yeah. And green is, and it is this kind of specifically, there's different shades, yes, but it's that neon, the lime green, the really bright, happy lime green. That's everywhere.
That seems to be the dominant one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Green color palette 2022.
It's easy being green in 2022.
I love it. I love to see. Oh, look at this. House.com. Green is the top paint color for 2022.
Boom.
Boom. The spruce. Green is the color of 2022. Here's how to use it in your home.
Green, folks. Not,
and
it's
fashion,
not,
though.
It's not definitely. Just a party. It's the color.
I love it. I'm glad to see pops of color returning to the gray palette, even though the gray palette apparently will never die.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well done.
Okay, well, my first thing is admittedly based on a relatively small sample size, but,
But it's totally a thing.
And I don't know who figured it out. It must have popped up on Reddit. My son told me about it first. And then I saw Tom doing it and making the most of it. It is the Be Real hack. where people have figured out that there's a delay between the taking of the photos on the front camera and the back camera. And that if you spin your phone around real quick, you can avoid the selfie where you look like Shrek and instead do something kind of cool because you get the same photo in the front camera and the back camera.
The first time I ever saw this was used for the opposite, but I thought it was hilarious. Brian Ibbett pointed it at himself both times so that he was in front of the camera and behind it.
That's awesome.
And then looked surprised in both of them. Like, why am I in both places?
What happened? Yep. No, I don't know the origin, but it's leading to what I like about it is that it's like the street finds a way, you know, the street makes its own use for technology. I'm paraphrasing William Gibson badly here, but that's exactly it. Everybody was like, okay, well, first of all, I look like a troll doll in every one of these front facing camera photos and it's enraging, but also how can we make these photos of our desk, you know, like same ish thing almost every day look more interesting. And so people are figuring out how to just sort of like make it work for them. It also says to me that Be Real really is sticky.
I don't know how they're ever going to make money.
Me neither.
That's the only, I'm like, yes, Be Real is here. People complain about using it, but keep using it, which is a sign that something is a definite thing. And you're absolutely right. Finding things like the little spin hack and having its own little subculture of memes and elements, definitely thing behavior.
And then I don't know when they integrated it, but now there's the ability to share the photo to your other socials. So like today I managed to get the most amazing shot ever of like a hummingbird in mid sip from my hummingbird feeder. Oh my God, I'm such a 100-year-old lady. I don't even care. I'm just going to be a bird nerd. It's finally working. Plant lady to bird nerd. And then I was able to share it directly to my Instagram story from the app. So now they're, now you've got watermarks happening.
I wonder if they can survive on premium features. Right.
Yeah,
could they go the model of a free to play game and say, yeah, Be Real. What you've got now will always be free. But if you want higher quality, blah, 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 the ability to edit your selfie, you know, like, I don't know, filters.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I have a feeling they'll never want to go ad based.
Because it would be such a bummer.
Because I think they're popular amongst a group that's going to be like, no, I don't like that.
I just feel like it should be like a $2 app or a $5 app.
I'm waiting for somebody to try that. Right.
Me too.
But
you know, the only thing
really
I can
hard
remember
to take away that, and also if it's a one-time purchase, you're monetizable and requires constant user acquisition, which is hard,
but it could be $5 a year. Like it could be,
it would have to be
some price per year. The only time the only app that I've ever seen people, you know, virally pay for was Dark Sky.
And then what was that calendar app? There was a calendar app people were happy to pay for.
Was there?
Yeah. Like Sunrise, SunCal. It's too hot. No, that's not the name of the calendar.
Tom in sunny California, in all too sunny California. Is like
It's 108 degrees right now. So
I don't know. Enjoy it while you can.
Very, very few. Very few. Remember when you had to pay 99 cents for WhatsApp?
Yeah. Per year.
Mm-hmm.
That totally happened.
And people did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook was like, no, we'd rather monetize you.
Right.
We're getting rid of that. But maybe Be Real 99 cents a year. Could that be sustainable for them?
I don't know. Or maybe just more, $10 a year.
There's a point where everybody was like, well, I'm not going to use it. Right. So
exactly.
You got it. That's why the 99 cents was almost genius, because you're like, well, it's only 99 cents a year.
Yeah. Anyway, either way,
let's move on to glazed donut everything.
Yes.
Hailey Bieber started this trend with glazed donut skincare, making your skin look like a glazed donut. Delicious.
What?
It then, I feel like it kind of peaked with glazed donut nails. Lots of people on Instagram showing off what are really just pearl nails, but
they're just pearlescent, but
calling them glazed donut. And then glazed donut coming for your hair. as well. Now, this is definitely driven by Hailey Bieber all the way across the board, but people are into it. They would like to look like a glazed donut, apparently. And I have noticed donut, like, just does donut design creeping into other things too. People are always, you know, there's like donut flavorings and donut looking things and donut plush pillows at the stores. So there's like a donut halo around all of this.
This is freaking fascinating. I'm looking at the glazed donut skin. And now I've seen too much of Hailey Bieber's skin, but I guess that's her whole deal.
Yeah.
Wow. And the hair and everything. This is fascinating.
Yeah. The glazed donut hair kind of looks cool. I'll be honest. It might be my favorite of the bunch.
Let me look at the hair. So it's sort of just like,
it's like silver hair.
Oh yeah. I do like that.
Yeah.
But they've given it the donut glow up in terms of naming. Cause it really, like, all of this is a look that, you know, it's like you should just be called Shimmer.
Right.
And then the nail thing is just, although I'm getting that next, I'm going to get a, I've gone all the way down the nail culture rabbit hole. Like, I'm in a nail phase. I got an ombre French. And then now, and I've gone to dip. Dip is the next evolution in nail trends. Like, there used to be gel, and then there were tips, and now there's dip, where they dip your nail in a powder, and it creates this, like, bulletproof, unbreakable coverage for your nails that then you destroy when you take it off. And then now, currently, I have this French manicure that it was inspired by this lady in Mexico City. I took a picture of it, and it's like each nail is a different color, and each nail has two separate colors on it of French tips.
Two-tone French tip?
A skinny stripe and a fat stripe.
And then
10 separate colors.
Just rip all that out for glazed donut.
That's and now point. I'm going to rip it. Exactly. Well, I'm going to have to get a fill on my dip. So I'm going to get glazed donut. That's totally next. It looks beautiful.
Also, just call something donut and people are interested in it these days.
I guess that must be really true.
Yeah.
You know, carbs are back.
Carbs are back. People are craving the carbs.
Like, people are craving the carbs for everybody who basically was like, oh, I don't need carbs and carbs are over and they're never coming back. And that, sure, there are still like a lot of keto people. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like my entire New York Times cooking and BuzzFeed with Tasty, which is where I'm getting all my trends lately. It's pasta. That TikTok pasta brought carbs back in a big way.
We want to live as a carb now. It's back so much.
Exactly.
We want to become the donut.
I want to be the donut.
This is as good a time as any to announce that the show is changing its name to It's a Donut.
Exactly. Sorry.
It'll be exactly the same show, but it'll be way more popular because we're calling it It's a Donut.
It's a Donut, parentheses, manicure. at this point, everything is.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I would just like to give a little language alert before I begin my next thing. It is not technically a swear, but it is of a slightly adult nature. So,
okay,
people are pretty obsessed with LeBron James, as you know.
They have been for years. Yeah,
they have been for years. Exactly.
He's a hell of a guy. Talented basketball player, talented business person, movie star, like. What's not
totally, and people call him like LeChoke because he often doesn't win the finals when the Warriors do. They call him LeGoat.
Spoken like a Bay Area person. All right. But these are real things. You're not making.
But these are real things, and so the new thing that people are obsessed with is LeBron's
producers from Cleveland, right? Though this show will never make it to air.
You're absolutely. I can say whatever I want because it's getting killed. Le ditch you for LA.
Dang.
Hey-oh. LeBald. Yeah, it goes on and on. But so the new thing that people are obsessed with is LeBron's kids.
Right. Because so the LeBron's point is that there are people making up things with LeBron's name that have the la and a thing. Got it.
Exactly. And what they are now, I'm so sorry, but this really is everywhere. And I've seen it on TikTok a million times. And you know my TikTok is pretty much just Huskies. They're calling his kids Le Sperms.
Okay, that's just...
And I actually saw one TikTok where because there's two of them, and they're both incredible. And, like, I think Bronny is the older one who's, like, about to come into the NBA. Now, at this point, LeBron is basically saying, like, I'm going to stay in the NBA long enough to play with my kids, which is bananas. He's 38.
Oh,
one of his kids one of his kids, Bronny, LeBron James Jr., the sperm one, is huge, right? He's a huge deal high school player, and he is probably going to enter the NBA soon. Like, it is actually possible that LeBron could play in the NBA with his own son, which is bananas. The other one just turned 15, so like maybe. But now everybody is calling them. I mean, there's literally like a story on blacksportsonline.com from, I don't know, this week about, from earlier this month. The sperms is trending after video of LeBron, Bronny, and Bryce James goes viral. And then I saw one that was like, Lynette and the spurt and the sperm.
Oh, man.
So that they could differentiate between the two. I'm sorry. Like, I only report. I do not pass judgment. I only report.
It's crazy to think that, you know, to get attention, to get pickup, to turn the heads of the internet, you always have to take it a little farther than expected, right?
Exactly.
So this is where we're at, folks. LeBoys. LeBoys, no. No
LeBoys,
one would ever
please.
No one would ever like pass that one around. No one's gonna retweet that one.
LeBabies.
Yeah, boring. Nah. Offspring, it's just too hard to say. You gotta go right to the root of the issue.
Get to the core of it, and that's what they're calling you. I'm just, all I do is report. If you hear it said and you're like, who would ever be so tacky and disrespectful and gross, these are children, just know it's the whole internet.
It's all of you. It's everyone. It's all of you.
It's literally everyone. And I was talking to my son about it, and I was like, that's so horrible. And that poor kid, can you imagine? Like, he didn't do anything except for be born into this family. And then my son was like, this kid is 17 years old. He's about to enter the NBA. He's like tall. He's totally handsome. I think he's like got a hot fiance already. Uh-huh. Like, you know, he's rich. Like, if this is his one trade-off
deal,
that he has to make in life, like, he'll be fine.
You know, though, I am a believer that just because you're rich and successful doesn't make you happy. And
agree.
So I agree. We're all still humans underneath it.
Also,
all.
I'd like to point out that producer Rich chose violence in the Discord.
He did. There's some all caps.
All caps.
Yeah.
He won two games against the Warriors by himself.
Also, the Warriors were up 3-1.
That did happen that one time.
It did happen. All right, let's get to our feedback from you folks who are amazing. Feedback at itsathing.me. Carly on the color gray says, dear Tom and Molly, oh my goodness, your show this week made me feel so much better about myself. Oh my gosh, Carly, I'm so glad. Last week I saw a car that had such a fantastic color, I did a literal double take. I simply could not get over how much I love this creamy, gorgeous shade. However, it also gave me an immediate mediocrity complex because the color was gray. Gray? How could I fall for such a non-color color? What is wrong with me? Then I heard episode 227 and learned how popular it has become and how many shades of it there are. I decided that rather than liking a boring non-color, I had instead enjoyed a popular and nuanced version of a thing. Sense of self saved. Thanks, Tom and Molly, for rescuing my boring taste and putting me squarely in the zeitgeist. Love the show. Carly. Oh, Carly, that was the best email ever.
That's
I love it so much.
The best email ever. I love it. And then she goes on with the PS and says, I found the color described online as a flat gloss with no metallic or pearlescent sheen that looks like matte covered by clear coat, which is the most beautiful. Like, I wish we had come up with that description because that's exactly the gray we're talking about.
Yeah.
And man, there's a link to a BMW in that gray. And let me tell you, Darularama ding dong.
You're buying that car right now, aren't you?
It's so beautiful. I'm not shopping. No, because you can't get the stupid electric one.
Carvana.
God's sake, BMW. Get it together. No, I love my Polestar, even though it's not gray. Matt from Providence proposed a song genre for the summer. We have been unable to find a song. We and all of popular culture. But Matt says, I got an idea. Hey, Tom and Molly, had a thought regarding the song of summer, adding to Tom's theory. I've noticed many artists have recently explored blended musical styles that incorporate down-tempo beats, more acoustic instruments, and luscious, funky chill-out feels. Mm-hmm. Calvin Harris, in particular, just released a sequel to his 2017 album, Funky Wave Bounces, which captures the trend perfectly. I call it a scented candle album. Something that is amazing. Like, stop what you're doing.
Well done.
And appreciate scented candle album. That is incredible. Something you can throw on to set the atmosphere and vibe. It just runs end to end. There are a lot of artists recently who have dialed in this type of vacation mode, leaning to a genre of summer. I wonder if this more relaxed theme in music points to a larger trend of everyone saying, I degaff what you drink. If so, count me in.
Yeah.
I love that. Stephen Lacey, actually, I don't know if you listen to Stephen Lacey, rap artist, but like that vibe, that same kind of down tempo and just relaxed.
It's a perfectly logical extension of the chill beats phenomenon, right? We should have seen that coming. Makes perfect sense to me.
And the melodic rap.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like things just got a little more melodic. Oh my God, that's so good.
In fact, for my Tom Merritt Free Tom newsletter last Friday, I wrote about listening to Silk Sonic on vinyl. And it was that same idea, even though it's not exactly in this category, that same idea of just put on something and just wash in it, you know?
Yeah. Oh man, I want to listen to Silk Sonic now. Good call. Yeah. So good. Not right now, though. We're still reading.
We'll get there. Professor Art wrote in with a potential clothing thing. We have to attend to this first. Hello, Molly Tommy. Molly Tommy.
Oh my goodness. This many years.
I know. I'm not sure if this was tackled already in some past episode, but I'm noticing more young women wearing dresses that can only be described as vintage floral with color palettes that seem reminiscent of 1950s drapery. Grandmotherly warm yellows, lots of green fronds, old rose, flowers, and more flowers, and a general sense of having been revived from a great aunt's attic after 70 years. It looks terrific, just to be clear. Molly, would you like to address Professor Art's question here?
Nailed it. All I can say, my friend, is nailed it. Yep. So hard. And I personally am not into this. It's not my look at all. And it's been a rough season. It's been a rough year in the clothing department because, yep, big time. And then finally, Sarah wrote in on quiet quitting and said, hey, team thing, love that you just had quiet quitting on the pod. Turns out I've been doing it for years without even realizing it. It occurred to me. You know what can help put a stop to people being asked to do the jobs of several other employees without getting paid appropriately for our work? Labor unions. Unions are getting thingier every day. This is so true, especially in relatively low-wage industries like Starbucks and Amazon warehouses. The new rise of unions is of a piece with the trend against overworking in general, but since most blue-collar workers can't get away with being less productive, it is no wonder so many are turning to collective power in solidarity.
I feel like, too, that unions are more popular with white-collar workers than blue-collar workers.
They have become so, I think. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that that's actually true, but I feel that that's the feeling I get. That's the perception.
I think there's less aware, right? It's been longer since some of these white-collar industries were unionized. And so now they're thinking, like, how can we, you know, we can't seem to make any progress with our overlords any other way. Maybe let's try this.
Yeah.
But no, good call, actually, Sarah. Like, unions are a thing.
Yeah. And the rise in people talking about unions and the rise in people talking about quiet quitting certainly go together.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yep. It's not all manicures and car paint colors, people.
No. Sometimes it's pickles.
Sometimes it's pickles. Indeed it is.
Because our shout outs this week are based on a 2005 Cleveland Plain Dealer article about Herman's Pickles.
This right here, can I just take a moment and offer a pain, how do you pronounce
that
to producer Rich, who probably knows how to pronounce this because that's as smart as
he does. Yes.
Who has managed to work in not only a thing, but his hometown and
pickles.
Newspapers. Exactly. The thing being pickles.
Oh, right. The thing is pickles.
And then,
right. Yeah.
Newspapers, because he's just an analog dude that way. Oh, so good. All right. The 2005 shout outs today, by the way, thank you to those of you who support us at the shout out level. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can support us at any level. And if you support us at the shout out level, you get to be part of a collection of shout outs based on that 2005.
Your name is woven into an indelible story every week provided by Rich.
Custom. So custom. It's incredible. Shall we one half, second half? I think we could do like a first half, second half.
First two, last three?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yep. Works for me.
Awesome. All right. Eric Duncan's grassy tang perfumes the factory air where Benjamin Forrest and Miranda Janelle make pickles 5 days a week. This is where Kevin Sill still speaks the language of kosher, half sour and sweet horseradish styles. Their lives and more have been steeped in vinegar, spices, and Mike Akins. The James C. Smith smell is still in your shoes when you put them on in the morning, says Lara Abel.
It's been 38 years since the Gabriel Cohen family, descendants of Joe Hood immigrants, started making dill pickles on Ohio 88 in Lee Priceville, a northern Andrew Bradley County community. Their dad, Jake Woods, was in the live chicken business until 1967 when a contagious disease swept in, infecting Morris Jones. Listening, finally, to encouraging friends and family, Louis St. Amour took his personal recipe for less sour homemade refrigerator pickles and started selling it to the public. It was a crunchingly good decision.
I mean, literally, we could not do this without you, Producer Rich, and shout out patrons. That is, I mean, every time that I think we have peaked in the shout outs,
no,
we're not even close. Himself.
I don't know how he does it.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Every
my
time.
My shoes still smell of his brilliance.
Oh my goodness. Oh, friends, thank you. Thank you so, so much for supporting the show at patreon.com/itsathing, where, by the way, you can join us live every week in our recordings in the Discord and just, you know, keep it going. Just keep it going.
You can also email us your things. Keep those going. feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Politicians.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.